From the Midas of Roseburg studio, widespread smoke in the Umpqua Valley today with a high near 97. Smoke again tonight with a low 57. Come Friday, smoke in the morning, sunny by afternoon with a high near 94. It is currently 64 degrees. KQEN News Time, 12:36.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
It's going to be a bit of a sobering program today. We'd originally planned this for last week, but glad we were able to get back to it. This month is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, started back in 1975. We're going to talk about the issue of suicide and mental health in general during these tough times. And we are talking with Adam Jones, an older adult behavioral health specialist with Compass Behavioral Health, part of the ADAPT group. Adam, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Kyle. And it really worked out because today is actually World Suicide Prevention Day. So I'm very happy to be talking with you.
Well, suicide is something that has touched way too many people's lives. And for folks that have dealt with it, suicide of a family member or a close friend or a coworker, a lot is left to contemplate and work through for the people left behind.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that, Kyle. But before we really get the conversation going, I mean, suicide is a very, very intimate topic. I think everybody listening in right now has been impacted by suicide one way or the other. So as folks kind of listen to this, make sure you're taking care of yourself. Kyle, I know you kind of put these the podcasts on right after you record them. And so if it becomes a little much for folks, you know, it's okay to turn the radio off for just a little while and maybe come revisit it if you need to.
Yeah, absolutely. Very difficult topic, and Adam's going to be sharing about some of the resources and some of the help that's out there. And I think for people who contemplate suicide, they don't think about the resources. They don't think about the help. They feel very helpless and hopeless.
I think you're definitely right about that, Kyle. It becomes all that they can think about, the solution to all their problems. Unfortunately, there are lots of resources, lots of services out there that we're going to be talking about here in a little bit.
So how common is suicide in Douglas County as compared to other parts of the state?
Yeah, and here in Douglas County, we've actually seen a decrease in suicide rates over the past few years. So that's pretty good news. Last few years, Douglas County ranked about second or third in the state rankings, and so we were pretty high up there. But we've fallen. There's been less suicides. We're about 10th in the state county rankings right now.
But being 10th, when you're a very small county size-wise, it means there's still definitely an issue.
Definitely. And, you know, even being 10th, there's still a ripple effect felt by the entire community every time somebody dies by suicide.
Now, what counties in Oregon have the highest suicide rate?
Yeah, and so the latest data that we have, it's looking like Curry County over on the coast, Klamath and Baker County over in eastern Oregon. They have the highest suicide rates, unfortunately, in Oregon.
Any idea why those locations?
Yeah, there's a whole cavalcade of theories. Kind of depressed economic regions, timbers kind of leaving a lot of these areas, very similar to Douglas County. Kind of throughout the nation, we're seeing rates in rural areas higher than urban areas, unfortunately.
And in Baker County, you've got an area where the population level has been stagnant for decades. I mean, Douglas County has seen a small amount of growth. We're seeing some growth certainly right now as folks are fleeing some of the big cities in California to come to Douglas County. But in Baker, you've got an area that hasn't grown much. And so you've got folks retiring and not a lot of new things coming into that area.
Definitely, and it kind of raises risk factors for social isolation, loneliness for the kind of the folks who have stuck around, even though their kids and their grandparents have kind of left to go to the bigger cities.
Now, is suicide more common in a certain age group?
It certainly is, and the data does show that. And we can talk about kind of specifics in Douglas County, but do know that all age group, all races, all income levels are at risk. Unfortunately, suicide doesn't discriminate.
So what are some of those folks that are at higher risk?
Sure. And so here in Douglas County, it seems that ages 25 to 64 had the highest rates of suicide. That's followed very closely by older adults, 65 and older. And then we do have some special populations that are also at risk. Veterans, we have a high veteran population in Douglas County. Our LGBTQ plus friends, they're certainly at a much higher risk. And kind of across the spectrum, older white males, when kind of just looking at all demographics, are at the highest risk.
And in Douglas County, over 50% of the people are over 50 years of age, so you've got that aging population to deal with. What about least prevalent age for suicide?
Yeah, it's interesting, because when we talk a lot about suicide prevention, we talk a lot about the youth. And fortunately, in Douglas County, our 10 to 24-year-old is three times lower than the state averages. I think our school districts, our ESD, Cow Creek Prevention has been doing a lot of work. The ADAPT Prevention team has been doing a lot of work, specifically in schools. And so it's very fortunate that those numbers are a little bit lower than the state averages.
Now, we did some interviews in March, April, and May, especially during sort of the lockdown phase of things, because we were seeing and hearing about crime and mental health issues. But as we continue in this more open time, but still a lot of issues, not to mention what we're dealing with outside right now with the fires and the smoke, has there been an uptick in suicides?
Yeah, and particularly in regards to kind of COVID-19, everything that's been going on, unfortunately, don't have any kind of immediate data that's released just right now. And it can be a little bit difficult to project, but we are getting some data from kind of some of the call-in, the state hotlines, kind of the crisis lines, and they have been seeing an uptick. The David Rompley warm line here in Oregon, typically they would get about 80 calls a day, and they were going up to about 300 plus calls a day in April, May, and June.
And what are some of the concerns, some of the issues people are bringing to the table when they talk with folks like Warmline?
Yeah, kind of the big things right now is social isolation, loneliness are often cited for the calls. COVID-19 is kind of, forced folks who can be in their house to their house, and kind of really kind of physical distancing from everybody else is kind of creating the social isolation issues. Other concerns, definitely financial concerns, right? Unemployment rates, unfortunately, very high. We had a drop in the stock market initially, and so I know a lot of folks were kind of very concerned about either retirements or even, their long-term plans.
Yeah, and that was one where I literally did not look at some investment information I've got for my accounts for 3 months because I just didn't want to know. Thankfully, now things are back to pretty much where they were when all of this began for a lot of people. For some people considering suicide, talk about some specific reasons folks have cited and that your data shows.
Sure. And right, so there's no just one single reason that people go and die by suicide. Usually it's life stressors combined with known risk factors that kind of build and build and build that eventually kind of lead somebody to that decision-making that they're going to end their life by suicide. There are some common risk factors to kind of be on the lookout for. Kind of first and foremost, just unexplained change in behavior. And so if somebody's kind of angry or they have some aggression or irritability or they're just despondent for what seems like no real rhyme or reason, I would certainly be concerned about that individual. And I would definitely check in on them and ask, hey, you're just not acting like yourself. What's going on here?
Interesting. And are there others as well?
There are certainly other risk factors as well. Childhood trauma puts folks at a risk. Substance use and abuse, particularly so if somebody's in recovery and they have a relapse, that's kind of a pretty scary time in somebody's life. Maybe a recent unwanted move. And we see this both in the older and younger populations. And so school-age kids having to deal with making new friends at schools can be kind of very scary. And in the older adult population, right? If all of a sudden I have to move out of my house into a retirement community, that can be very treacherous as well. A diagnosis of a serious or terminal illness can be pretty scary for folks, particularly if they think that their quality of life is going to be pretty poor. Fortunately, today's modern marvels in medicine, quality of life can be pretty good. It's just when we get that first initial diagnosis, it can be very scary. And one of the major risk factors for folks to really be on the lookout for, fear of becoming a burden to others. Right? If folks are saying, you know, I don't want to be a burden to my friends, to my family, I'm very, very concerned when I'm hearing that.
All right. Adam Jones is an older adult behavioral specialist for Compass Behavioral Health. Part two of the program in a moment. A look at suicide and prevention of suicide on Inside Douglas County, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1 later today. KQEN Local Talk at 4, Northwest Wine Radio. Brian Calvert talking about wine, beer, and spirits around the Pacific Northwest. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, you'll meet the brand new, as of Tuesday, Executive Director for Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center. Adam Jones is an older adult behavioral health specialist for Compass Behavioral Health. We're talking about suicide. This is National Suicide and Prevention Month, and we were just talking ahead of the break about some of the risk factors for suicide. Is a lot of it tied to some of these things being worsened by mental health issues?
It definitely is, Kyle. And so there's a very interesting statistic. It's about 90% of people who go to on and die by suicide, they have an underlying potentially treatable mental health condition. So things like bipolar, depression, substance use, they're strongly linked to suicidal thinking and behavior. And fortunately, treatment success rates for all these illnesses can be very high with treatment.
And a lot of times when people realize somebody is struggling around them, I mean, you're the mental health professional, but a lot of people go, wait a second, I have no idea what to do. They oftentimes do nothing out of fear of doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, it can be very scary when we're seeing our friends, our family, our loved ones kind of going through a crisis or even a mental health or a suicidal crisis. And so one of the most important things to do is kind of recognize the warning signs and, you know that asking someone directly about suicide isn't going to make anybody any more suicidal than they already are or they already aren't. And so you can ask somebody, you know, I'm very concerned about you. You're just not acting like yourself. Are you thinking about suicide? And know that that is an okay question. And it's usually going to open dialogue for folks and get them talking.
How important is it for friends of folks considering suicide or maybe not quite that far down the road yet to listen and sometimes not talk?
Oh, especially the not talk. I think that's vitally important. I think in today's society, we're just in such a hurry to go, go, go and get on to the next thing. We need to sit and really be present with people and kind of be with them in the pain that they're experiencing, listen to their concerns, listen to what they're going through, and validate and hear what what's going on.
And listening non-judgmentally sometimes is hard because sometimes people want to say, well, if you did this or you didn't do that, you wouldn't have this problem.
Yeah, I think very quickly we go straight into problem solving, right? If only you would have done X, Y, and Z, you wouldn't be in this problem. Well, a lot of times folks are in this problem, and we just need to be validated and heard.
And just much like crime situations, sometimes it takes a long time to work through these situations. I've been reminded by police on a number of occasions that actual police work is not like a crime show, and it's, you know, a major murder is not solved in 60 minutes, including commercials. I mean, some of this stuff takes a long time to see improvement.
Definitely. I mean, it's just not like what we see on television, right? We don't get the few commercial breaks and the happy applause at the end. Sometimes it takes a little bit of work. But fortunately, there's services, resources to help folks kind of climb that mountain together, and so they don't have to do it alone.
And it seems like because it is a mountain, sometimes folks take positive steps forward, and you kind of, you know, breathe a sigh of relief, but then they take a step or two backwards. And a lot of times, just like in recovery situations, that seems to be the pathway.
Yeah, that's definitely. I mean, there's no one clear-cut direct path for individuals. And really, it takes a village. It takes kind of the community banding together and supporting this individual as they go on this journey.
Now, do some people make rash decisions, or is suicide generally a long-term consideration before action is attempted?
Yeah, good question, Kyle. And so some suicides are very deliberate. Some, you know, involve very careful planning. And so those are kind of some of the more difficult ones to kind of interrupt. Typically what we see in kind of the research and the studies is that when a person decides that they want to die by suicide, the crisis is very short. It's usually in a matter of just minutes that somebody has come to that decision.
Wow. And so at that point, for folks around them, it's really important to have resources, I imagine, ready.
Correct. And so making sure that, basically all of us have either the Douglas County or the nationwide suicide hotline in our phones. And so that way that when we're working with somebody or we have a family member in crisis, we know what to do right away.
And when people make these rash decisions, how are they able to act on them so quickly sometimes?
Yeah. And so unfortunately, one thing we didn't talk about was how people go on to die by suicide. And unfortunately, in Douglas County, over 70% of the suicides are with firearms. And so that's why means matter. And so if we have a family member who's in crisis, it's kind of best case to really work with the person and say, hey, can I just hold on to this firearm at least until the crisis is over? Maybe we can talk to the neighbor, maybe we can talk to the gun club and they can hold on to it just until the crisis is over and you're a little bit more stable.
So in the aftermath of someone who does take their life, talk about the impacts on those left behind, the close family and friends.
Definitely. And we talked about that kind of ripple effect where, it ripples out to the friends, family, loved ones, community members. And it's very, very difficult. It's pretty traumatic, right? Suicides are often pretty sudden, sometimes very violent, and usually unexpected, right? Sometimes the police get involved and folks might be in shock. And so family members, loved ones, we might kind of ruminate on the death, the circumstances, and then particularly the what ifs, what could I have done? And really that just really makes the situation that much worse for the friends and the family, the survivors. There's a lot of stigma, a lot of shame, and a lot of isolation, and the whole spectrum of emotions. And so folks might be angry, they might be depressed, and they might feel those emotions, in the matter of minutes. It's very difficult for the family.
Now, do suicides sometimes lead to more suicides?
Unfortunately, sometimes they can. It's what's known as the contagion effect. And so it can happen in all sorts of different places. I think typically we hear or think about them in schools, but they can also happen in retirement communities, military units, even in groups of friends or groups of family members.
Interesting. So what kind of resources are available for people considering suicide or the folks around them?
Definitely. And so fortunately here in Douglas County, we have, over a dozen counseling therapy services for folks who may be experiencing suicidal thoughts or in crisis, or maybe even just need a little bit of support and kind of want to work through some issues they may be facing.
And I know that at one point there was a talk of a 3-digit national hotline. Is that still heading our direction?
Yeah, that's actually great and exciting news. And so instead of, memorizing the 1-800 number in 2022, we're going to have a 3-digit number. But until then, for folks in Douglas County, one of the best numbers, one of the best resources you can have is to call the Douglas County crisis number. And so that's Compass Behavioral Health. And so that number is 541-440-3532.
A lot of people, when these situations come up, they start getting concerned about, insurance, no insurance, et cetera. How does this work?
Definitely. And particularly if folks don't have insurance, it can be very stressful and can often accelerate a crisis, right? If I'm in crisis and I'm worried about going to the doctor or going to the counselor and it's going to cost me more money, that's certainly going to exacerbate things. And so there are lots of different agencies that either help folks apply for the Oregon Health Plan, OHP, just off the top of my head, UCAN, South River Compass. But there's also a lot of the integrated primary care clinics in the office or in the Douglas County. They offer sliding fee scales. Aviva, Evergreen, South River. Basically, you're not going to be turned away, and they're really going to work with you regarding payments. Often there's a little bit of additional paperwork you might have to complete, but typically there's a social worker, a caseworker who's going to really help you and help you fill out those applications.
And if people are interested in finding out more about suicide prevention or maybe even getting a training for their organization, where do they go for that?
Definitely. The best way to do that would be email me or call me directly. So you can call me on that. Just call 541-440-3532 and ask for Adam Jones. Or you can email me, and my email address is adamj@compassoregon.org. I can offer free trainings for, you know, faith communities, agencies, community groups, whatever that may be, on suicide prevention.
All right. Adam Jones is an older adult behavioral health specialist. There we go. For Compass Behavioral Health, talking about the issue of suicide. Adam, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Kyle. Take care.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.